Welcome to the Dr. Gundry podcast, the weekly podcast where Dr. G gives you the tools you need to boost your health and live your healthiest life.
Welcome to the Dr. Gundry podcast. You know, it's been referred to as the mother of all antioxidants, the master detoxifier, and the maestro of the immune system. I'm talking about glutathione, one of the most essential molecules for helping the body fight off illness and prevent premature aging. In fact, it's been shown that many people who suffer from serious health conditions lack a lot of glutathione in the body. And unfortunately, due to poor diet and the abundance of toxins in our environment, the majority of us are also running low on glutathione. But my guest today is here to help. After a quick break, I'll introduce you to Dr. Steve Morris, a physician and chief formulation scientist who specializes in developing nutraceuticals and cosmetic formulations. Dr. Morris has a passion for discovering alternative ways to promote well-being, and when it comes to supporting your glutathione levels, he says he's cracked the code. In a bit, we'll dive into Dr. Morris's research on some of the most incredible ways to support your health so that you feel and even look like a younger, healthier you. So don't go away, we'll be right back. If you're a regular listener or tried my recipes, you probably know how much I sing sorghum's praises. And it's true, I really do. This ancient grain is so versatile and underutilized. Beyond its sustainability, sorghum is lectin-free and is a great source of minerals and vitamins like iron, protein, calcium, potassium, magnesium, and more. So while being sorghum's number one fan, one of the main reasons I'm asked all the time is, how do I use it? Now this is where you can get excited. Sorghum can be used in salads, as a flour in baking. You can even get sorghum pasta. I've got my own sorghum spaghetti coming out soon, by the way. And you can also enjoy what Nature Nate specialized in, popped sorghum. I make it my business to try every compliant sorghum product that I can find, and Nature Nate's is one of my favorites with a variety of delicious flavors like avocado oil and sea salt, rosemary and garlic, and coconut oil pink Himalayan salt. And Nature Nate's popped sorghum is Whole30 and Plant Paradox friendly, non-GMO, gluten-free, organic, and it tastes great. To get your own bag for family movie night, go to www.naturenatesllc.com or Amazon and use the promo code Dr. Gundry for 15% off your first order. That's Nature Nates LLC, NatureNatesLLC.com, and use the code Dr. Gundry on Amazon for 15% off your order. It's the holy grail of microbiome health. I'm talking about Akkermansia, my favorite good gut buddy. It's that miraculous mucus-producing, i.e. lectin blocker strain, I rave about in all my books. Other scientists have tried for decades to capture this very special good bacteria as a stable supplement, but no one could figure out how to populate the gut lining with Akkermansia in a pill form. Until now. Enter Pendulum Life and their debut product, Glucose Control. It's the only one on the market with my favorite good gut buddy probiotic, Akkermansia. And even better, because it's a cutting-edge medical probiotic, for some it may be FSA eligible. Although the company markets it as a game changer for type 2 diabetes, Pendulum products are so much more. It's a game changer for anyone on the planet who wants to improve their overall health. Really, besides my own products, I haven't been this excited about a new probiotic? Maybe never. Get more Akkermansia in your life, folks. Pendulum is where it's at. Even more, Pendulum just launched an Akkermansia-only product called Pendulum Akkermansia. It's selling out fast, so get it now. Try it for yourself. Go to www.pendulumlight.com and use my code GUNDRY20 at checkout. That's PENDULUMLIFE.com and use my code GUNDRY20 for a 20% discount. So, Dr. Morris, it's great to have you on the podcast. So, first of all, for everybody who wants to know what the heck is glutathione And why do we need it? I know that's a big one, but let's start there.
No, that's a great question. I think to start off, we probably need to back up just a little bit and talk about, you know, what the heck is a free radical? You know, we hear that word all the time. We hear that we're constantly exposed to them, and we are, both inside our bodies and outside. And the main thing to know is that free radicals and toxins are basically just unstable molecules looking for stability. Glutathione, as you mentioned, is the maestro or master antioxidant in the body. It neutralizes or renders inert those free radicals and toxins at a very efficient rate. That's its main role in the body.
So I've written in the Energy Paradox and elsewhere that glutathione is really the master antioxidant within mitochondria, the energy-producing organelles in most of our cells. So what's the difference between an antioxidant that we use that term rather freely?
Yes, we
do. And glutathione. Glutathione is a true antioxidant. True.
Yes, it's called an endogenous antioxidant, meaning it's made inside our body. So, in essence, the best antioxidant that we have, our bodies make. We just need to give it the right building block, so to speak, and we're going to talk about that, so our bodies can optimally make the right amount of glutathione. Antioxidants, you know, vitamin C and quercetin, vitamin E, all the, you know, we could list off a number of them. They're all good. Those are considered exogenous, meaning they come from outside the body. We ingest them. They go in and they do a similar type reaction we're going to talk about as well, to help render these bad molecules harmless.
So you're right. I think a lot of people certainly have been told that, well, you can swallow a lot of antioxidants, but there's some convincing literature that you could swallow all the antioxidants in the world and they probably aren't going to do a whole lot for you and may, in fact, be harmful. A lot of people still like to point to the old vitamin E study in smokers.
Yeah.
That vitamin E consumption worsened lung cancer. And we can go down
that.
Remember that study?
Yep. Yep.
And that vitamin C in excessive doses can turn into a pro-oxidant rather than an antioxidant. But you're right, glutathione we make ourselves. And in a little bit, we're going to talk about swallowing glutathione. So what's the secret to glutathione? I mean, how does it work? How does it mop up free radicals or neutralize them?
Well, you know what? It comes down to one simple thing, and honestly, it really is this simple: sulfur. Glutathione has what is called a sulfhydryl group. All that means is it's a fancy term for the fact that it has a sulfur atom attached to the molecule that has a hydrogen atom attached to that sulfur, and that sulfur readily wants to give up its hydrogen or electron to neutralize these free radicals, if that makes sense. And that's the secret behind glutathione. That's how it works.
Sulfur is that yellow stuff, and isn't that the stuff that makes rotten eggs smell like rotten eggs?
Exactly. If you've ever been to Yellowstone, you'll be very familiar with that. You smell that and you think, well, how can that be good for my body? It's vital for your body in many ways. And I don't just mean, you know, for antioxidants. Sulfur is used to make many of the building blocks of all the tissues of our body. It is used in our immune system. It's essential. And so, yeah, we have to get an adequate amount of sulfur to be able to make glutathione.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating that many Star Trek fans know that we're a carbon-based life form.
Yep.
But it's perfectly conceivable, and many people would argue that we're also a sulfur-based life form.
Absolutely.
And I think we probably forget that at our peril. Like you're pointing out, sulfur is right behind copper is probably what we need most out of the elemental table.
You're right. Absolutely right. Yeah. I mean, I think the general public would be surprised if they knew the types of metals and different things in our bodies that catalyze the reactions that make us move and alive every day. Chromium, for instance,
yep.
Selenium, gold, silver. I mean, all of these are utilized in the body to catalyze reactions.
Okay, so you're talking about reactions and sulfation, and people have, you know, heard, I'm sure they've heard about sulfur. Some people are aware of sulfites, some of the things we use to keep wine from going bad. What's the difference, and why is sulfur different than sulfites, and should we be worried about all these different forms of sulfur?
Very good question. So you'll hear two words commonly now, and they're demonized. It's sulfites and sulfates. Switch the I for an A. Sulfates, the only difference between a sulfate and a sulfite molecule is that a sulfate has 4 oxygen atoms attached to a sulfur, and a sulfite has 3 oxygen atoms. And like you said, we use them as preservatives frequently in foods, personal care products. Many of the surfactants, you know, soap a long time ago used to not foam. It foams now because we use sulfates and sulfites. The problem, those two ingredients actually are not bad for you. They're not carcinogenic, but there are individuals who are sensitive and some individuals who are actually allergic to them. And so it's sulfite and sulfate are actual molecules containing sulfur. Sulfur is a completely separate thing. You need sulfur to live. Your body's made of it. So they're two completely, and along that line as well, you know, there are people who have, you know, allergies to sulfa drugs.
Right.
Trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole is one of them. And, you know, that once again, that has nothing to do with the sulfur atom. It's the actual drug.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So sulfur is very important in sulfation and its role in phase 1 and phase 2 detoxification in the liver. Can you walk us through that?
Yes, I can. Absolutely. I really wish I could show this picture, but basically, in the liver, the body has two. Let me see if I can bring you back up here. The body has two ways that it detoxifies or naturally gets rid of toxins. Okay, so everything that we ingest passes through the liver. The liver, liver and kidneys, for that matter. And those two organs are basically filters. Phase one detoxification utilizes an enzyme called cytochrome P450, or they just abbreviate it CYP, CYP450. These enzymes, they do kind of a quick and dirty way of getting rid of stuff. They either oxidize the free radical, reduce it, or they hydrolyze it by putting hydrogen atoms on it, which renders it inert, or they dehalogenate it. And what that means is halogens are specific atoms like chlorine, for instance, is a halogen. Argon, some of the other elements in the periodic table, they remove those, these enzymes do, and it makes the free radical, once again, inert or harmless. And those are typically the fat, like fat-soluble toxins, okay? Things that are fatty in nature. Water-soluble toxins that we ingest or we're exposed to, those go through a conjugation pathway. And what that means is, in the case of glutathione, glutathione attaches itself to that toxin. And by doing so, once again, makes it harmless. And then the body simply passes it out through the kidneys and into the urine. But the key point here is that glutathione is utilized in both phase one and phase two detoxification in the liver. Hence why, another reason why it's called the master antioxidant.
And so just to kind of follow up with that, so if glutathione attaches to a water-soluble toxin, mm-hmm. and it's then excreted in the urine, what you're saying is we got to make more glutathione because we're constantly losing it.
Yeah, to a degree, yes, we are, and our bodies normally are able to do that just fine, but with time, age, exposure to toxins, chronic disease, diabetes, cancer, heart disease, hypertension, a lot of the things we're seeing in the Western world, more and more autoimmune disorders. The body becomes less efficient at not only producing new glutathione, but it becomes less efficient at recycling it. And we'll talk more about that too.
Well, that's probably that's a good jumping off part. How do we recycle glutathione?
Yeah, good question. So, glutathione, once its primary way that it works is it readily donates, like I said, this electron or hydrogen atom to the free radical and makes it so it feels complete. So it's complete and it doesn't go around scavenging, because normally free radicals, what they do is, like I said, they're unstable. They will pull an electron or hydrogen atom from wherever they can get it. And unfortunately, if it's from DNA, you're going to have damage to your DNA. If it's from anything inside the cell, you're going to have damage to the cell. And that's why they're so bad. So once you make this free radical whole, it no longer wants to go around pulling things off and making a muck of things, basically. So when glutathione donates its hydrogen, it then binds to another glutathione that has also donated its hydrogen, okay? And it makes what's called glutathione disulfide. And we abbreviate it, instead of GSH, because the hydrogen's gone, we abbreviate it GSSH, okay? And so that's also floating around in our bodies. But we have an innate mechanism to recycle this. There's an enzyme called glutathione reductase. And what it does is it takes that GSSH, it's useless, and adds a hydrogen and an electron and a hydrogen to each one of them and creates two brand new glutathione molecules.
So why, if that happens as a natural process, why are so many of us deficient in glutathione?
Very good question as well. There's a couple of reasons. One, we talked about a little bit, touched on low sulfate intake in our diets. People are more health conscious today. But some of the foods that you probably ought to look at, eating more and ingesting that are higher in sulfur, meats, so turkey, beef, chicken, fish. For more the vegan route, plants such as seeds, grains, legumes, nuts, walnuts in particular are high in sulfur. Chickpeas, couscous, eggs obviously are high in sulfur. Allium vegetables, and that's a class of vegetables, and you're going to be like, well, yeah, they'll smell, they'll have kind of a pungent aroma. And the reason why is because they're high in sulfur, and that's onion, garlic, leeks, scallions, shallots. All of those types of vegetables are very, very high in sulfur. And then there's the cruciferous vegetables that most of us are exposed to and eat, and that's broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage. If you ever notice these vegetables that I'm listing off here, you put them in the fridge or you cook them and then put them in the fridge and then you get them out. If you open up the container, you can smell the sulfur. You can actually smell it in the product. Arugula is another one, kale, and radish, believe it or not, is also high in sulfur. So, you know, looking at all these and trying to include them more in your diet, that's one reason why we're deficient, in glutathione. The other one is kind of a hard one to tackle, and that's environmental toxins. There's only so much you can control. We live in the world that we live in, recently with COVID and wearing masks and personal protective equipment, we've been more conscious of that. But the truth of the matter is you're going to be exposed to environmental toxins. It's unavoidable. Things to mitigate that obviously are, staying away from things that are harmful. Cigarettes, alcohol, where you live, there's only so much you can control there too. If you live by a refinery, those are things that are kind of out of our control. So that one's kind of a hard one. And I tend to kind of steer away from that because we really can't control certain things. The third one, and this is a really big one, especially is gut health. Yeah. Dr. Gunder, you're very familiar with this, that the human microbiome, which is basically the bacteria in the intestinal tract, outnumbers the cells in our body. It's like 10 to 1. It's literally an organ in and of itself. The intestinal tract has its own nervous system. And the bacteria, the good bacteria, produce certain things, molecules that benefit our body. When we get dysbiosis, which is a fancy term for, more bad bacteria versus the good, and that can happen with, chronic antibiotic use, poor diet, you name it. We get a disbalance. And really, there needs to be a balance of good and bad bacteria. Leafy green vegetables contain high amounts of biotin. That biotin is then converted to free fatty acids, which are good for us. And that is done by the bacteria in our intestinal tract. The intestinal microbes also produce biotin and other key elements that modulate the immune system and help with glutathione production.
Yeah, I think the intestinal microbiome, which has been my area of interest now for 20 years.
Yeah,
these guys, there are sulfur loving bacteria, and one of the things that when I was writing in the Energy Paradox that surprises many people is we've always been taught as physicians that hydrogen sulfide, which is the rotten egg smell, is a toxic gas.
Yep,
and in fact. It follows a hormetic curve. Hydrogen sulfide is actually one of the most important, what are now called postbiotic gases there are. And hydrogen sulfide is really critical for gut communication to our mitochondria, to our brain. And there's even some really cool evidence that hydrogen sulfide is very important in preventing atherosclerosis. So we've kind of ignored the contribution of the microbiome, and getting back to your subject, sulfur, for too long. All right, Progressive helps you get a great rate on car insurance, even if it's not with them. They have this nifty comparison tool that puts rates side by side so that you choose a rate and coverages that work for you. So, let's say you're interested in lowering your rate on your car insurance. Visit Progressive.com to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's rate, and then their tool will provide options from other companies, all lined up and easy to compare, so that all you have to do is choose the rate and coverages you like. Progressive gives you the option so that you can make the best choice for you. You could be looking forward to saving money in the very near future. More money for, say, a pair of noise-canceling headphones, an Instant Pot, a new outfit, whatever brings you joy. Get a quote today at Progressive.com. It's one small step you can do today that could make a big impact on your budget tomorrow. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. I think most people would agree that when it comes to the challenges of healthy eating, there's almost nothing more time-consuming than grocery shopping. I personally spent hours wandering the aisles of the grocery store, reading hundreds of food labels, and boy, is it draining. Because no matter how hard I look, most of the foods on the shelves today are either loaded with added sugar, lectin bomb ingredients, or contain dangerous additives. And more often than not, when I do come across a truly healthy product, the price is just outrageous. But thanks to Thrive Market, this is no longer the case. With this online membership-based market, healthy living can be easy and affordable for just about everyone. It allows you to shop over 70 categories like keto, paleo, gluten-free, vegan, non-GMO, fair trade certified, BPA free, and more without ever leaving your house. Plus, members save an average of $32 on every order. I happen to love their selection of lectin-free baking ingredients like sorghum flour, coconut flour, and extra dark chocolate. They also have a great selection of approved cheeses and clean wines. But Thrive Market goes beyond healthy, wholesome foods. It's also a great place to find clean beauty products and non-toxic household items. And right now, you can save $20 on your first order by using my exclusive promo code. Just head to thrivemarket.com/Gundry Podcast and join today to get $20 off your first order and a free gift. You could only get this offer with my exclusive link. That's thrivemarket.com/Gundry Podcast. I want to tell you about Mrs. Gundry's favorite electrolyte drink. It's my favorite too, but my wife Penny really loves it. LMNT electrolyte drinks. The truth is, everyone needs electrolytes. But if you're an active person or on a low-carb diet, you really need electrolytes to feel and perform your best. Usually, dietary sources will not be enough. This is where LMNT comes in and why it's Penny's favorite electrolyte drink. As an incredible athlete that works out up to 10 to 20 hours a week, my wife has improved her recovery time by supplementing with a daily drink of LMNT. Also, her post-workout fatigue and muscle soreness has greatly diminished. And right now, LMNT has a very special offer for you. Just go to drinklmnt.com/Gundry and use promo code Gundry to get your free LMNT sample pack. You only cover the cost of shipping. $5 for U.S. customers. LMNT is a tasty electrolyte drink mix with everything you need and nothing you don't. This means a science-backed electrolyte ratio with no sugar, no coloring, no artificial ingredients, or any other junk. You can even try LMNT risk-free. They offer a no-questions-asked refund policy. Go to drinklmnt.com/Gundry. So glutathione. So if it's, you know, if it's the mother of all antioxidants, how come most people have never heard of it?
Yeah, that's I've thought about that. I think there's probably multiple reasons, but I think two of the biggest ones. The first one is straight out COVID-19. People have become enamored, and they should be, more aware, more educated in immune health. And by doing so, you know, people are seeing more glutathione products in the market. It's being talked about more. So I feel that that's definitely part of it. Also, you know, we've got more, we have more than ever, patients, you know, or people, here, especially in the Western world, with, type two diabetes, which is an inflammatory disorder, heart disease, which you're obviously an expert in, as well as there's been just an enormous surge in people with autoimmune disorders. And so I think, you know, with people getting more educated, getting online, reading more, they're seeing there's a common link between all that, and it's glutathione is that molecule. I think the second reason is really that, you know, this is something that's been taught, I mean, in medical school and in medicine for forever. It's just starting to get out there now, and I think it's just a matter of it's just timing, honestly. So I'm glad people are becoming more educated. It's a good thing.
Well, okay, so it sounds like we ought to be getting more glutathione, and I'm sure a lot of my listeners can go to the health food store and they may see an entire row of glutathione or glutathione products. There's pure glutathione, there's NAC and acetylcysteine, and we might touch on the FDA controversy with that. There's liposomal glutathione, and then there's NACET, which you're going to talk about. But okay, so there's this whole vast array. And then when you start reading about glutathione, so many times you see, well, you can don't waste your money. Glutathione will be broken down and it won't be absorbed, and you're just throwing your money away. Help us out here.
Okay, let's do it. So, yes, to a degree, taking straight up glutathione, the majority of it is lost in what's called the first pass effect. And what the first pass effect is basically when you ingest something, like I said, it goes into your stomach and then it passes through your liver. Your liver breaks down a lot of things. It doesn't pack, or the acid in the stomach, or the enzymes, digestive enzymes will break it down. So there's a term we use called bioavailability. That's just a fancy term for when you ingest something, how much of that are you actually getting? And how much of it is actually being used for what you're taking it for. And so when you take straight up pure glutathione, it has a very low bioavailability. In the hospital, when we have patients come in that have overdosed on Tylenol, the main problem is that they have depleted their glutathione stores. And the only treatment that we really have to get glutathione or to increase glutathione in their bodies is to aerosolize NAC. And I could always tell when we were treating somebody for Tylenol overdose, because on the second floor I could smell sulfur. But they would do it that way, and that administration is a very good way to get the key element, which is cysteine, we're going to talk about, into the body. Because it bypasses that first pass effect. It goes into the lungs and straight into the bloodstream. But ingesting just straight up NAC and acetylcysteine, which is what the majority of glutathione products on the market utilize, you're only getting about 10% or less. Its bioavailability is very low as well. Is it still a good product to take? Sure. But it's not near as effective as what we're going to talk about in a minute. The other one is liposomal glutathione. And basically, that's, you know, glutathione that's been encapsulated basically in fatty acids that protect it to allow it to, you know, get through the digestive tract with enough time to be able to be available. There's a problem with that, though. The body has hundreds of things called feedback inhibitory mechanisms. What that means is the body knows how much it needs of a certain thing. Believe it or not, there is such a thing of having too much of a good thing. So when the body senses that it's got enough glutathione, it sends a messenger back up and tells the body to shut off the production of glutathione. Okay? It's a default mechanism. It saves us because with too much glutathione, which liposomal glutathione can do, give you too much glutathione, you enter what's called a hyperreductive state. Okay? So we're talking about a hyperoxidative state. You know, we need to get rid of oxidation. But being too reduced is also not good as well. And that's why NACET is so phenomenal. NACET is basically N-acetylcysteine, but it has two other chemical groups attached to it, an ethyl and an ester group. They're just fancy terms for a couple other atoms. The ethyl and the ester group allow NACET to be up to 68% bioavailable to the human body. Six times the amount that NAC is. Not only that, it doesn't bypass the natural feedback inhibitory mechanisms in the body. And even more, it readily crosses the protective blood-brain barrier that all of us have, that protects the brain from toxins and different things. NAC and cysteine and other things, they don't pass through. This does. This actually enters the brain. And they've done studies shown that supplementation with NACET, there are high amounts afterwards in the heart, liver, brain, testes, and other vital organs that are required for life.
So can you, I'll be willing to bet that a lot of people have heard of NAC, particularly after NAC supplements disappeared from Amazon, after the FDA's announcement that NAC had been declared a drug in the 1930s, and it can't be a supplement. And yet, people should not be scared, number one, of NAC. But I'll bet you no one has looked up NACET. Where the heck do you find it?
Well, I'm a bit of a nerd. I like to research a lot, and I spend a lot of time on PubMed and talking to other colleagues and just delving into the textbooks and different things and trying to figure out, like, you know, there's got to be a way we can get more cysteine, which is the rate limiting factor. Cysteine is an amino acid. We'll talk about that. There's got to be a way to get more cysteine in our bodies orally without it breaking down. And I stumbled across NACET. It wasn't at the time, you know, being marketed at all for anything regarding glutathione. But, you know, through research and looking at it more and more, was able to see its potential, great potential for glutathione production. And it's the blood brain barrier and the fact that it doesn't, you know, bypass these natural things that save us, our bodies, I huge potential.
And so, you have, in fact, a supplement that contains this, right?
Yes, we do. It's we call it GSH Plus. GSH is basically an acronym abbreviation for glutathione. The G stands for glutathione, the S stands for sulfur, and the H stands for that electron or hydrogen that it donates. So if you don't smell sulfur in your product, at least a little bit, you know you don't have the real thing.
Good point.
So that's one thing I tell people. You know, if you get a glutathione product and it doesn't smell a little bad, you're not getting the right stuff. Now, our formula contains a lot of other ingredients. But before I get into that, I want to just touch on a couple of things. And one of them is the key, and I've said this a couple of times, but the key rate limiting factor. So if you think about you got an automobile, and you know it's the engine works great, the electronics are fine, the battery's fine, but there's no fuel to put into it. It's useless. The engine that makes glutathione, it's gasoline, it's major component, the thing that can slow the production of glutathione down is cysteine. And like I said, it's an amino acid. You can take cysteine, but once again, your body breaks it down and you don't absorb a lot of it. So this is, NASIT is a way to get a cysteine donor is what it's called. It basically turns into cysteine once it gets into the body, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, and we've also included two other key ingredients, glutamine, which is another ingredient that is in this machine, this engine that makes glutathione. And then glycine, that's the third one. That's another amino acid. So there's basically three of them that are utilized in the production of glutathione. And we have all three of those, plus a plethora of other ingredients we can talk about.
Yeah, you have several ingredients that really help liver detoxification, like milk thistle extract and quercetin. But in the interest of time, I know you've talked about too much. Your product eliminates that possibility that you can literally overdose on glutathione and have the opposite effect of what you're looking for.
Yep, perfect. Yeah, it eliminates that ability to enter a hyper-reductive state. And the best way to think about it is to think hyperoxidation is bad. We can all kind of imagine that, like too much oxidation is bad for you, any oxidation really. Too much reduction in the body, which is the opposite of oxidation, is bad as well.
Yeah, got it. Well, this is great stuff. Any other exciting things you're working on that you want to tease our listeners with?
Always working on stuff. You briefly spoke on mitochondria. I'm just going to say something very quickly about that. Mitochondria, actually, as we age as well, they become leaky. They become the source of the worst free radicals that we're exposed to, believe it or not. And hence why glutathione is even more important as we age. We're working on mitochondrial formulas as well. I wanted to touch very briefly as well, just on NASIT again. You mentioned hydrogen sulfide, and yeah, we've been taught that it's a bad thing, but it's a key, it actually is a key cellular messenger in the body, that helps modulate or control inflammation so it doesn't go out of control. And it also helps with insulin resistance. And NASIT really is the only molecule that we know of that increases the production of hydrogen sulfide. So that's a big deal.
No, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
Because again, I think for too long, most people and even physicians have been fearful of hydrogen sulfide. And that, you know, oh my gosh, it'll kill us. But you're right. The research that I talk about in the energy paradox, it's fascinating how important that chemical is to our well-being. So, all right. Yeah. Well, Dr. Morris, it's been a real pleasure having you on.
Same.
And it's been exciting for people to hear about glutathione. Where do people find out more about you and your research?
Well, I would point them to the website, trygshplus.com /Gundry.
All right. Well, we'll keep everybody posted on glutathione and glutathione research. And please check out Dr. Morris and his work. All right.
Excellent.
Thanks very much. Pleasure having you on the program.
Same. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay, it's time for our audience question. This question comes from Eola on YouTube, who says, "Hello, Dr. Gundry. Could you tell us, please, if the sprouts are good or bad for the gut? Thank you." Well, interestingly enough, there's actually a lot of research that I published in The Plant Paradox about sprouts have a very high lectin content, particularly when they're very small and just germinating. And it was kind of a surprise to me, but for instance, alfalfa sprouts, which are one of the more toxic sprouts to eat, is because of the very high lectin content. But once the sprout gets beyond just the little thing coming out of the seed, then they're actually quite safe to eat. So if, for instance, you're worried that you're sunflower sprouts that are 2 or 3 inches long are dangerous. They're not. Mung bean sprouts, for instance, are not dangerous. So it just depends. What you don't want to do is get the almost immediately sprouted things. So, and I've said this over and over again, sprouted breads like Ezekiel, which are the miniature immature sprouts, maybe one of the most lectin-rich foods that you can possibly eat. And I've actually seen this in several of my patients who, for some reason, started eating sprouted bread, particularly Ezekiel bread, and their autoimmune diseases flared. And once we identified that culprit and got it out of their diet, things quieted down. So, great question. Okay, it's time for the review of the week.
Welcome to the Feel Good Podcast with Kimberly Snyder. My goal is to help you develop a holistic lifestyle based on our four cornerstone philosophy: food, body, emotional well-being, and spiritual growth. This holistic approach will help you feel good, which I define as being connected to your most authentic, highest self. And this is the place from which your energy, confidence, creativity, true power, and true beauty will start to explode. Every week, we provide you with interviews from top experts in their field or a solo cast from yours truly to support you in living your most beautiful, healthy, and joyful life. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, founder of Saluna, New York Times bestselling author, and holistic wellness, nutrition, and meditation teacher. Let's get started.
Support for this podcast comes from Pluto TV. Ready to get away from it all? Free yourself with Pluto TV. Stream hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and shows all for free. Yeah, free. No contracts, no subscriptions, no fees. Imagine 24/7 channels of Narcos, CSI, Star Trek, Survivor, and everything else from hit movies to binge-worthy TV shows, the latest news, live sports, comedy, and more. What are you waiting for? Download the free Pluto TV app for Android or iPhone and start watching now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.
Matthew Blackman on YouTube says, "Thanks, Dr. G. I love taking the time to watch your podcast. The Plant Paradox is a life changer for me. Great book and easy to read. I'm now on to the Longevity Paradox, and I already have the Energy Paradox, so I'm chomping at the bit to get stuck into them. You put me on a life-changing journey, and I am so grateful for you and your team." Well, thanks a lot, Matthew. You know, that's why I write these books. It's for you to get some information that you probably haven't had before. And good for you for getting all the books, because each time I write a book, it's because I've discovered something that you've asked me about that I've learned from my patients. And it's, you know, exciting new knowledge, I think. And thank you, most of you, for thinking the same way, to pass on. And so thank you for writing. And again, anyone who's listening or watching, please send us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And who knows, I'll be reading your letter next and answering your question. So I'm Dr. Gundry, and I'm always looking out for you. We'll see you next week. Disclaimer, on the Dr. Gundry podcast, we provide a venue for discussion, and the views expressed by my guests do not necessarily reflect my own. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Dr. Gundry podcast. Before you go, I just wanted to remind you that you can find the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you want to watch each episode of the Dr. Gundry podcast, you can always find me on YouTube at youtube.com/Dr. Gundry. Because I'm Dr. Gundry, and I'm always looking out for you.